This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots on ABC Radio Perth and WA, the ABC Listen app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. It's one of Australia's best podcasts. It is Roots and Shoots, the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike. You can find it on your favourite podcast player, of course, or also on the ABC Listen app. Now, I did say to you that Mark Tuchek would be in today, but hey, we've got a bit of a surprise guest who's just pulled off on the side of the road. Sabrina Hahn, good morning.
Well, good morning, Gianni.
What a special treat.
I know. Well, I've come into Tom Price, so I have mobile range here. But, of course, at Carrageenie, Dale's Gorge, there's nothing.
Oh.
So we've come in to have a look at Tom Price, and it's a beautiful, very green, lush little town.
What? Tell us what you're looking at right now. Paint us a bit of a picture what Tom Price looks like.
Okay, so lots and lots of big shade trees, lots of poincianas, a lot of native plants. It's a very well kept, cared for town by the look of it, and surrounded by the most amazing range. So the drive from Carrageenie to Tom Price is stunning, absolutely stunning. Just the ranges are incredible, and there are a lot of very big trucks on the road, Gianni.
It is that part of the world, isn't it? You know, we're out there. Hey, you've been spending a bit of time with some wildlife. I got a picture from you a couple of days ago about your interactions with some of the animals on the road.
I know. That was my little MacGyver moment, Gianni, because the road trains that come along, they're 60 metres long, and they're carrying huge, huge amounts of weight. So they're sort of like a travelling torpedo going down the highway. So unfortunately, they, you know, they'll hit the odd roo or cattle, and so this is there's wedge-tail eagles everywhere along the road because of the roadkill, I guess. But one kangaroo was right in the middle of the road, and this pair of wedge-tail eagles were hooking into it. And I just got really worried that they were going to get collected by another road train because they're such heavy birds. Like, it takes them ages to get off. So I dragged the roo off the road for the...
In your finest double pluggers as well.
Yes, in my finest double pluggers. looking all the world like a wildlife warrior, Gia.
It was incredible. It was brought a smile to my face when I saw it. It was a crack up. Yes, so if you've got a question for Sabrina, now's the time to call in 1-300-222-720 or send us a text on 0437-922-720. We'll answer your questions, but you know, we give the preference to people to call in. If they give us a call, they're going to get a run first. We do like to see your pictures as well. So if you have got texts and you've sent in a picture of what you're looking at, I'm going to have to do my best to describe it for you because we are, you know, connected by long distances, aren't we, Sab? So I'll describe what I can see, and we'll try our best. We'll try our best. All right. So let's kick it off. Let's go to Steve, who's called in from Fremantle. Hi, Steve. How can we help you?
Good morning to you both. I've got a buffalo lawn with about 10 square metres of something that looks like an onion weed. It's got a bulb underground that comes up with a strappy sort of a...
Yep.
Now, I've tried...
It could be Guilford grass or it could be onion weed, yeah.
Now, I've tried hitting it with a weed and feed, the dry variety, as well as weed and feed the spray on, but nothing works.
No, it'll just laugh at that.
Comes straight off.
Now, it's notoriously difficult to kill because even if you kill the top part, the bulb, which is the storage part of the weed, will hold on for, you know, a good few years. So there's one of two things you can do. You can hit it with a selective herbicide that they use for nut grass. and you can hit it with that, or you just keep, I don't know how much you've got there, or you just keep cutting it off and it starves the bulb. Cut the leaves off with a pair of scissors. Yeah. And that actually starves the bulb.
Can you do it with a lawnmower?
Absolutely. Yes, definitely.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
All right, Steve, let us know how you go. That's Kate Nedland's also texted in about that. So hopefully, Kate, you're listening in. You heard that answer for Steve. And, of course, if you miss anything, you know, you can always get on the podcast players and listen back at any time on the ABC Listen app as well. Lots of different options to enjoy while you're there. Give us a 5-star rating because you know we're worth it.
Yes.
All right, question from Carolyn in Collie, who says, can you tell me if I need to worry about my silver princess roots infiltrating underground water and sewage pipes? And a bonus question, how can I kill a huge cotton palm, which I think I've asked you about as well, which keeps regrowing?
Okay, so you're not going to be able to the cotton palm, if you just cut it, if you cut the top off, it'll only shoot from the base, and then you get a tomahawk and you just hack into them until it completely wrecks it. So, or you can cut the top off, hit it with a little tomahawk and paint it with blackberry tree killer and kerosene. You can hear cockies in the background.
I can hear them, yeah.
And,
on location.
I do have to tell people if they come up here, that they'll be surrounded by really lovely flies. There's about 6 million to 1 square meter, and everyone's, I think they've run out of fly nets. So as I speak to you, Gianni, I've got the Australian wave.
Oh, yes. You haven't got your cork hat out, have you, Seb?
No, I do have a fly net, but it's hard to talk to you on the phone with a fly net. And what was the first part of the question, sorry?
Silver princess roots infiltrating underground water and sewage pipes.
No. There is no problem with the silver princess roots system at all.
All right. There you go, Carolyn in Collie. Let's go now to Joan, who's called in from Narrogin. Hello, Joan. How can we help you?
Hello, good morning to you both.
Hello, Joan.
I have a crab apple tree, and it's grown spindly, it's lost all its leaves, and I want to know, can I prune it?
Yes, you can.
And, oh, good.
If you can you wait until winter?
Well, it's just getting in the road of other things, and it's
Hook into it now. Hook into
all right.
it now.
Yeah, it's got no leaves or anything on it, so.
Oh, it hasn't. Oh, no, well, that's fine. No, you can prune it now.
Oh, thank you.
It's leafless. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joan in Narrogin. All right, a question on the text line, Sab. Sab, can you help me settle this dispute? Do you put mulch over your drip line or under it? That's Jenny.
Over.
And why?
Over the drip line. Because if it's on top of the drip line, number one, the water heats up. Number two, So you want the mulch on top, because if you have the drip line on top of the mulch, then the water just goes to the mulch and not down into the soil. So you want the drip line as close to the soil and your plant as possible. And then you put the mulch on top of the drip line.
So there you go. That is the dispute settled for you, Jenna in Walpole. Thank you for your text. If you want to send us a message, particularly if you want to send through a picture, I'm going to do my best to describe what I'm looking at to Sabrina, who is calling in from Tom Price, surrounded by cockies. Is it hot up there at the moment, or is it all right?
It's been beautiful, Gianni.
Oh, great.
It's been between Dale's Gorge yesterday was 32. It was perfect. Apart from the flies, which I cannot
a little
tell
bit of extra protein
the
there, you know. You can just have you been just if we hear you go partway through, we know you've just enjoyed some of the local flavours.
Yes, swallowed about 30 flies. I've never seen them so bad up here. But the countryside is stunning because they've had so much rain up here, so that's why the flies are so bad. I was talking to the ranger yesterday, and I said, "Oh, the campground's really quiet. There's hardly anyone here." And he said, "People have come, you know, they've booked in for 7 nights and they've stayed for one, and they've just packed up and gone because they just could not cope with the flies."
That's a story. I'm going to get the newsroom onto that about how many flies are kicking around. All right.
It's bad.
Can you take a picture of how many flies and send them to us? I might put that on the ABC Facebook page.
Now that I'm in mobile range, there's a picture of me and you can't see, you can barely see me for flies.
Oh, like, it's like
they're that bad. And trying to drink a beer through a fly net.
Oh my God.
Very tricky.
Sounds wonderful. I'm sure you're having a great time up there. At least it's beautiful and green for you at the moment, so that's always lovely to
see. And it's cool. It's lovely and cool, and it looks, you know, all the Spinifex, is some wildflowers are starting to come out. There's some wattle, there's mullamulla, which is fantastic. And in Tom Price, all the poincianas are about to flower. It's
beautiful.
Awesome.
All right, let's talk about another question about flowering. Let's go to David and Dianella, who's got a question about passion fruit. Hello, David.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Morning, David.
How can we
no
help
worry.
You?
Hello. I rang last year. We moved into a house, I don't know, 18 months ago, and it has a passion fruit vine which didn't fruit. So you suggested, you know, fertilising and watering a lot, which we've done.
Yep.
Earlier this year, we got one passion fruit. They're big, those Panama yellows. And
yes,
it took forever to ripen. It was delicious, but only one. Oh. Now we have about 50. Oh, but, you know, I'm worried they're not going to ripen. They're huge, but they're...
Well, I wouldn't be worried about anything not ripening over winter, because we are destined to have a warm winter. You know, we've seen so much extraordinary stuff going on with fruit trees. Because of the weather, I reckon you're not going to have a problem with them ripening over the winter period.
Okay, because just last year we did get one and it stayed there all winter and it didn't have any fruit.
Yeah, I'd had nothing inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Is
this
that
time
what
they're
you're
very
saying?
Heavy. They're awesome. Yeah,
yeah.
Last year with the one.
So you may not get the colouring up. So it's going to be a matter of picking one every now and again to see if they're ripening, because you may not get that golden yellow colour. They may still be green, but they'll be ripe on the inside.
Okay, I've sort of got some things and propped a bunch of 4 or 5 of them out in the sun, so they're getting a little bit of light.
Oh, okay, cool.
Not stuck in the dark. So I'm trying everything.
And the other. Well, the other thing you can do is you can put a bag around them and put an apple in with them, because the ripening hormone in the apple may help your passion fruit ripen.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got to go and buy apples to do that.
No. Yeah. Just grow some apples.
Or a banana.
Oh, yeah, bananas often do ripen things, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, David. All right, you've got a few little things to try there. Thank you for giving us a call. Someone on the text line, it's Max in Ravensthorpe, is speaking of apples, says, "I have two apple trees that have been in the ground for about 2 months. They're about a metre high. The kangaroos have come into our backyard and eaten all the leaves off. Will they survive? Are they cactus?"
No, I don't reckon they'd be cactus. I reckon they'll come good.
You reckon they'll come good?
So just water them. They're highly likely to reshoot, so I don't think you've lost them.
All right, let's take another apple question. Ross in Yokine has got a question about a pinkerbell. Hello, Ross.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for the program. Tab, I've got a pinkerbell, which is a dwarf pink lady.
Yeah.
And it actually finally has flowered this year, but the leaves are browning. The leaves are sort of the brown. What's happening here?
Okay, so the leaves could be browning as a late reaction to the really severe heat we had a little while ago. The other thing is, don't forget that apple trees go into a winter dormancy, so they might be browning to drop their leaves. Or the other thing is that you've got a potassium deficiency. Not okay, you so personally, but the apple tree.
But always check that, Ross, as well while you're there.
Yeah,
okay, so what
right.
do I do about a potassium deficiency?
Okay, so you can buy liquid potassium and you can spray the foliage with it.
Okay.
So there you go. Spray the whole tree with the liquid potassium.
Okay, thanks, Seb.
There you go.
No worries,
thanks,
Ross.
Got a question from Greg, which is, I put two compost bins near an old man's salt bush and half the compost bins are full of roots. I guess I'll have to keep them away, or is there anything I can do to block them from the trees in future?
Because old man salt bush is one of the great survivors in the desert. Now, if they find moisture or nutrients anywhere near them, they're going to hook straight in. Because they're survivors and they latch onto anything that they can. They go, oh, goodies.
And they found something pretty tasty in your compost bin.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
There you go, Greg. All right. Something to think about, but your placement of your compost bins, maybe elevate them perhaps a bit, might get you a better option there. Let's go to John, who has called in from Huntingdale, who's got a question around some fruit on a mandarin tree. Hello, John.
Good morning to you both. Thank you for the call. I've got fruit developing on the mandarin tree. It's probably half size, perhaps. Different colourings, greenish, but some of them are dropping, and I'm just not sure why.
That's quite normal for mandarins. Now, if you don't thin the fruit out earlier on in the season, they'll just automatically drop some of the fruit because they just can't sustain that much fruit. The other reason can be stress, either not enough water, too much water, too much heat, not enough trace element mineral, strong winds, and rats. So they're the alternatives you'd be looking at. But I wouldn't be too concerned unless you're losing, you know, the majority of your crop.
Okay, so when I first see them developing, I should prune some out. What sort of percentage? Is there a certain amount?
Just take I wouldn't take more than a quarter off, because if you don't do it, the tree will. It'll just drop them.
Oh, well, it might save me work. I can let the tree do it.
Yeah, that's, cool. That's
I'll
exactly
pick them
right.
Up.
That's what I do, John. I just let the tree sort it out itself.
Fair enough. Good on you. Thanks
there you
very
go.
Much.
Thank you, John.
Have a good day.
All right. It's time for this, Sab. Oop, no, it's jumped. Sorry. There we are.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
You've picked us something inspired by the landscape you've been moving through in the last little couple of days, haven't you?
Absolutely, Gianni. Because the landscape here is so dramatic, and particularly all the gorge country, you know, you've got it's on such a grand scale, it's hard to take in. So I thought, what really would honour the landscape that we're in, sitting here in the moment, because it's dramatic. So, of course, I had to turn to opera, Gianni.
Oh, people love it when you pick an opera track.
I know. So I've picked one of Handel's operas, Rinaldo, and this is an aria sung by Leslie Garrett, and it's called Lascia ch'io pianga.
Can I tell you, Lascia means leave in Italian, and Lascia stare is what I used to always been told, to leave it alone, stop touching it, whatever
really?
You're doing. My nonno used to always say, Lascia stare, just don't touch it, just, you know, stop mucking around with things. So,
well, that makes sense, because in English it means leave me cry.
Yeah, so anyway.
You know, you have to have drama and sadness and, you know, all sorts of things. So anyway, that's the song pick for this week, Gianni.
A Lasha Kyo Pianga by Handel with Leslie Garrett performing that. Sab, you've picked a lot of people that seem perfect. Visualising where you are, all the beauty you're looking at. Beautiful pick, camping at Carrageenie, and it's breathtaking, says Amelia. Jeanette in Kalbalda says, a perfect music for the dramatic landscape in and around Carrageenie. You can't go wrong with opera on a Saturday morning. We're blessed to live where we are. Bellissimo, says Barb in Gero.
Well, I thought it was quite appropriate, an appropriate track for the stunning landscape where we're sitting.
Very good. All right, you're listening to Roots and Shoots on ABC Radio Perth and WA. Maybe you're listening on the ABC Listen app, or perhaps you're listening on a podcast player. So here's a little plug for you. If you love the show and you want to show your support for us, load up your favorite podcast player, even if you listen to us on the radio every week, and just give us a 5-star rating or review, because it really does make a big difference to pushing us up the charts and helping people find the show, because you know, and I know, and Sab, you know, this is the best gardening podcast in Australia. But
look, I was sitting out under the stars last night, Gianni. The night sky just completely covered in stars. And so I put the message out there. I said, now, anyone out there, if you're coming to land here on Earth, I'm going to give you the heads up. Go straight to the Roots and Shoots podcast, because you won't hear anything better on the planet.
Heavenly is how they describe it, isn't it? Heavenly. It's not how they describe it often, but it's a lot of fun, and we love having
hilarious.
You with us.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. So give us a 5-star rating on your favourite podcast player, or, of course, you can follow the show on the ABC Listen app. All right, let's go to Catherine in Como, who has been waiting very patiently. Hello, Catherine. You've got a question about some impact your dog is having on your lawn.
Yes, I do indeed. Good morning, lovely people.
Good morning.
Enjoying the show and love that last piece, Sabrina.
Cool.
I adore Leslie Garrett, and that was just perfect. And I can picture you in Carrageenie with that song.
Perfect.
How can we help
now,
you, Catherine?
Now, my question is, and it's probably a perennial one, I have a 7-year-old female red helix cross that I've just rescued, and her name's Lola, and she's an adorable dog, and I absolutely love her to bits, except that her urine is burning my lawn to buggery, and it looks absolutely shocking. She's killed even my cooch. And,
oh, my God. You could hire her out.
Yeah, sounds like you got a side business there.
I hadn't thought of that. That could be a little side business. I could bottle it. Bottle it up and send it out.
That's it.
But I'm just wondering, I'm just looking for some advice as to what I can do to, more alkaline the soil, because obviously it's the acids in her wee, I imagine.
Wee, yeah. Some of the vet sites have some suggestions. I know that a little while ago they made those dog rocks that you put in the dog water, but the feedback from that is that they don't work. And I think it changed the pH of the water. Certainly hosing it down after she's been on there would help. You know what you should do? A little bit of investigation. So where the lawn's dying and where she wees, if you take a little soil sample, go and buy a pH soil testing kit. Take a sample, of the soil where she wees that's dying, and then go and take a sample of where the lawn is healthy.
Okay.
So, and then if there's a big difference, if it goes bright purple or it goes lime green, her urine's making the soil acid or alkaline. And then you could, once you know that, and on your pH testing kit, it'll tell you how to alter either. And the other thing is go on the vet websites they do have some suggestions on what you can either change pet food or put something in the water to prevent that from happening.
Right. Oh, that's great advice. Thank you so much. And
my
enjoy
pleasure.
Your day.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
A lot of texts coming in saying, breathtaking, Sabrina, beautiful choice, fabulous music for the country. Lots of love for that song that you picked there. And also one for Titanium from last week. We got one, someone who said 15 stars for the Titanium. For that one. So we're doing pretty good. Go get you and two friends and give them 5 stars each. Rose in Australind asks, I've got a massive garden and battle oxalis every variety every winter. I hate sprays, but as I get older, it's harder to control the old-fashioned hands and knees. What can I do? Help me.
So with oxalis, they're so pretty and they give you those lovely yellow flowers. But now you can try, when the oxalis is wet, you can try sprinkling on sulfate of ammonia, which is basically really strong, fast-release nitrogen, because sometimes that knocks it right back. So sulfate of ammonia, you buy it in a granular in a packet, but the foliage has to be a bit damp, and then you just sprinkle it on.
There you go. All right, that will help you out, Rose. Let's go to Sarah in Parkerville, who's got a question about clay soils. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
A quick one, I hope. Every time I dig a hole for putting in seedlings that I normally purchase from very good garden centres or the Friends of Kings Park, because I got very clay soil, every time I dig, I cannot dig the hole as large as I wanted because there is either rocks or the soil is too hard because it hasn't been raining. In the last two years, I established these plants, most of them succulents or natives.
Right.
And also lots of cousin hits after seeing your TV show as being a special guest on ABC Garden in Australia. So I was like, yes, cousin hits are my thing. Now, when I dig the holes, I improve just the hole. I don't improve the entire area because I don't know if it's going to work because it's so much labor. And now I'm starting noticing that many of the natives that I have planted 2 years ago, let's say one third of them, they're not actually making it.
Okay.
Because
the soil's too heavy for them?
Well, most of them, I did check with the nurseries, they're suitable for this area.
They said they'll go clay. Yep.
But what I'm noticing, they reached to a certain height, well, which is pretty good. They reached a certain height, but I suspect that the roots may be not too happy, or if I just should continue watering them like I'm doing nearly every morning.
You're probably overwatering the natives if you're watering every morning. So what happens with clay, the water doesn't drain away, it gets held there. So you may actually be overwatering and then the root systems are drowning. The trick with gardening in the hills, get yourself a drill and you get an auger. It's a drill bit auger, especially for planting. So you literally are drilling the hole with this little mini auger. And it means that you can get deeper and then you drill, you know, a few holes so you get a wider hole. And then what I suggest people do in clay soils is get a bag of really good potting mix and just put potting mix in the bottom of the planting hole and then mix it 50-50 with the clay you've dug out and potting mix. And that just gives the plants a bit more room to grow a better root system.
Yeah. Just a very quick one. Do you think with such a hard soil that we got up here, the cousin hits will find a way to shoot out new pups like it did in yours?
Yes, okay. I have. I've actually seen cousin hit planted up in Kalamunda where it's done the same as what mine did on the on the front verge. So if you can lay some mulch around, the cousin it will jump, you know, one of the tendrils will jump to the mulch and they'll form roots in there and then they'll sink the roots down.
There you go. Sorry, got a few things to work on there. That auger, it's like a big spirally thing, isn't it, that goes on a drill bit. Is that kind of how it looks?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it looks like a big sort of screw thing.
Yeah.
It's awesome for digging holes, Gianni. I love bringing out the tools.
I saw a really cool invention that someone had put together. There's a story on the ABC News website about killing the asparagus fern. And it was basically like, you know, those drill bits that you can basically put, I'm going to get the term wrong, but basically it's a circular blade that you can put on for cutting perfect holes.
Yeah.
And they called it the asparagus killer. And you basically plonk it on the front and just go, bah, 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 take them out all out that way. And as someone who's had their garden infested with that stuff, and it shreds you anytime you try to take it out, I like the idea of being able to just use a bit of power to get rid of those things.
I reckon that's brilliant.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. They look like something you could make at home, but maybe you should investigate how to do that one.
Well, yeah, just go and buy yourself a hole saw.
Hole saw, that's what we're looking for.
And you can get them in all different diameters.
Yeah, go for it. All right, a question from Michelle in Kawarum up. Can you give me some tips on making my own azalea garden soil, please?
Okay, so azalea is like a slightly acidic soil. So you can go and buy yourself, if you want to make this mix up yourself, what you do is you go and buy a cheap bag of potting mix. That's the only time I ever say buy a cheap bag of potting mix. Then go and get yourself some compost and some sulfur. And you're going to mix. So in for one bag of potting mix, you're going to have a third of a bag of compost, and you're going to put in half a cup of sulfur, of powdered sulfur. Then slow-release fertiliser, about half a cup of slow, oh no, one cup of slow-release fertiliser. Mix all that together and put your azaleas in that.
There you go. On the text line, Nick, a farmer in Koji, has suggested that maybe the problem with the dog urine is actually high amounts of nitrogen, which probably makes sense because they're meat eaters mostly. So that kind of does make a bit of sense to me. So that might be something to consider. put a few more veggies in the mix of the food.
Yeah, perhaps. I was going to say, give that doggy a meat and three veg.
Yeah, exactly. A variety of different things. Carl has called in from Byford and has a question about some turmeric. Hello, Carl.
Hello. We're seeing that the turmeric we're growing here in Byford is looking a bit tawdry, and so we're wondering, is that normal? We just let it carry on until it's more or less died down over winter.
Is it in a pot or in the ground?
Oh, we got it in a pot. Anything in the ground in the gutless Byford soil conditions will just bring tree roots up and they take everything.
Yeah, okay. Now, how long have you had the turmeric in?
It's getting on to 2 years now. We did have a harvest last year and bit of a harvest.
Yep. Okay, so year three, the rhizome is much bigger and they fare a lot better. The big thing about turmeric is you have to try and increase the humidity around the plant. So if you put the turmeric in a pot with lots of other pots around it and try and increase the humidity, it makes a huge difference.
Right here, yeah, we did notice if we the pot that we hid around the back of the guava tree in a pot, that looked the happiest.
Yep, and have you been fertilising it?
Perhaps not as often as we could or should. Okay.
Well, they're pretty hungry feeders. They're a bit like ginger in that way, so Yeah, so spring and summer, you need to fertilise them often.
Yeah, righto. So a bit of cow poo or whatever we can get a hold of. Yeah.
Yep. That's the way to go.
There you go. That's hopefully give that a crack, Carl, and let us know how you go next week. All right. On the text line, someone is Adrian. In Albany says, I've got access to quite a large supply of Jarrah fine wood shavings. Is it all right to add this to the garden?
Yep, absolutely. Now, if it's very, very fine, I would use it quite sparingly. Now, wood changes the wood has a different pH all the way along the line. So, and, you know, it varies greatly between the species of wood shavings. So before you do that, pH test it and make sure it's not. If it's neutral, no problem at all. But if it's purple or lime green, then you're going to have to adjust it by mixing something in with it, depending on, you know, what the pH is. So always check the pH of the wood before you put it on your garden bed.
There you go. All right, something to test for you, Adrienne. In Albany, let's go to Glenn in Broome, who's having some problems with the frangipani. Hello, Glenn.
Morning, Sabrina, Gianni.
Morning.
Now, look, I've got a place I've been in for about 22, 23 years, and they had a big frangipani out the front. The neighbours have got big frangipanis, so they're probably about 40 years old, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Now, I did actually send a text through. A lot of it's dying back, and I found it was infested with black ant.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just wondering, can I save the old girl or what?
Now, up in Broome, the termites love poincianas, passion fruit, and frangipanis. So the black ants may be in there attacking the termites. They eat the eggs and the babies. The other reason the black ants could be there is because you've got a rot in the root system. Have you got, because I'm up here in Tom Price, I can't see the text. Do you have any withering on the stems? You know, where it looks like all the moisture has been sucked out of it?
I haven't noticed on the new stems, but the old stems, there's quite a substantial dryback.
So what I want you to do, because the termites, you'll have to treat for termites if it's that. But in the meantime, what you can do is you need to cut off, and you need to do it now, cut off all the bad growth, and then you have to spray the entire tree with an anti-rot spray.
Okay. Yep.
And you may need to do it again in 3 months' time. Spread the spray, not the cutting, not the pruning.
Yeah, okay. So percentage-wise, it doesn't matter. I can virtually cut it in half.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, you can cut, especially up in Broome, you can cut them, you know, really hard.
Yeah, okay. And another question, does it require regular watering at that age?
Yes. Because the thing about frangipanis is they have a really small root system. Like when you see how heavy the tree is and how wide they get, the root system is actually quite small. So you do need to, you know, if you haven't had a good wet season, you'll need to water them once a week.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
there you go. They're a little deficient in that regard, but I'll change that.
Okay.
Good. Let us know how you go, Glenn. That's Glenn in Broome there. On the text line, Sab, I need to do a brutal pruning of several eucalypts. Should I wait for an opening rain? It's very dry here, and that's from Suzanne in Cogenup.
Oh, Koji. God, it's been so dry there. No, I wouldn't. You don't need to wait until rain, because who knows when we're going to get it. I would wait until the end of April, though. If she can wait till the end of April, then prune.
There you go, Suzanne. So wait until the end of April and then prune. If you're waiting for the rain, you might be waiting a fair while. Yeah, let's go to Greg in North Perth, who's got a question about some scale on a bush. Hello, Greg.
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Good morning. How can we help you?
I'm just wondering, I had rang a month or so ago and talked about these little tiny bugs, black bugs on my a plant out there, which we squash them, they're orange guts.
Yep, but that's the one.
I didn't, it was too hot to spray.
Yep.
And when I got around to watering them, I neglected that. But suddenly they disappeared. I don't know whether they've moved location or they've just gone sleepies underneath.
Now, once the scale gets to a certain size and you have a lot of them on your tree, The little insectivore birds love them because they're full of eggs. So they come and pick them off the tree and eat them. The other thing that can happen is there's a wasp that parasitizes them. And the other thing that happens is if there's a change in temperature, then that stops them from breeding. But the thing is they'll go into what's called overwintering. So the eggs can remain dormant until spring next year and then you get the infestation again.
Right.
So are there any left on the tree?
No, it's a big bush. Can't find any, but you can see the colour of the leaves has gone lighter than it was. You know, it was dark green, now this light green.
Okay. All right, so next, is it an evergreen bush or deciduous?
Evergreen.
Evergreen? Okay, so as soon as you see three or four, then you're going to spray it. So during winter and spring, it's safe to spray with an oil-based spray or a potassium-soaked spray. So the trick with scale is you have to get onto it straight away. And if you do that, then you don't get the infestation.
All right. There you go, Greg. On the text line, John in Denmark has asked, I have a 2-metre Chinese elm tree in a large pot, which is looking very sick, losing its leaves. It's had several brown small spots on the leaves, which could be from a very small bug. Any suggestions, please, about what that might be and what I can do for it?
Well, the Chinese elm's going to drop all its leaves soon because they're deciduous. The brown spotting may have been something to do with they get a tiny, weeny little aphid on them. But I wouldn't worry, just keep the water up. I wouldn't worry too much about them. You're going to have to get it out of that pot, though, because they have a huge root system and you can only keep them in a pot for a short period of time.
All righty. That's some suggestions for you, John. Let's go to Lindsay in Albany, who's got a question about a magic back from the dead peony. Hello, Lindsay. Lindsay, are you there? There you are.
Thank you. Look, I bought I don't know if it's a corm of a peony, and I planted it, and it came up, and it was doing well. And then it just shriveled up, and it died. It looked as though it was dead. And it was in a pot, and I'd repotted it. And then I thought, well, that's it. That's had it. So I just left it in a corner, and it just got a little bit of water over time. And it's been Lazarus. It's come back to life. It's shot up beautiful leaves, and it looks fantastic. And I'm thinking, these things should be starting to go into dormancy. I just don't know what's going on, quite honestly.
No, there's two different types of peonies. The bush one doesn't actually go into a dormancy. So now, I think you deserve a medal for even keeping a peony alive in Western Australia. They need a very specific climate, which we don't have. What suburb did you say you were in?
I'm in Lowlands in Albany, between Denmark and...
Albany. Oh, I know. You could have a fair crack at growing them there. So you've got the perennial peony, the bush peony. And you've just won the Gardener's Gold Medal.
Pop into your local shop and collect that one. Make a very brief speech before the microphone goes down.
Thank you very much. I feel very proud.
There you go.
And I'd be telling all your gardening friends.
What do I do
and making
now?
Them. Oh, that's true. You are.
Well, what do I do with them now? Do I feed them? Do I water them?
Water them and give them a feed. Yep.
Yeah. And watch them.
Just a little one, and just go out every day and take a photograph of them in case they die when it gets to spring.
And I'll put my crown on.
Yeah, put your crown on.
Put
on your cape.
Crown on.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Okay. Thank you. you.
Lindsay in Albany there. Very funny, that one. All right, let's take a few. We're almost at the top of the clock, which means we've just about run out of time for questions. But you won't be with us next week, Sab, because you're heading all around, and you will definitely be out of range next week. But next week, we've got a pretty exciting thing for listeners who are in Perth. We're heading down to the Riverwise Gardens, which is a big garden show, and Gardening Australia's Josh Byrne will be down there with Amber to take your gardening questions. So if you've had any questions about how your garden impacts the riverways and the waterways, this is the place to go. It's all kicking off pretty early. There'll be stuff around from about 7 o'clock. There's also a few people, I think, who are going to be doing a half marathon around the bridges as well. So lots of fun to be had for people who are in that part of the world. And we'd love to see you down there. Amber will be back. Sab, you'll be off exploring the beautiful country that we have.
I will, but I will be sending through my song pick, Gianni.
Yes, you were very clear about that. No one is to pick a song other than you.
That's exactly
yes,
right.
And I said, yes, boss, no worries. But that's very fun to look forward to. Thanks, Sab. We'll see you next time.
Okay, thanks, Gianni. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.